Welcome to What's for Dinner, a radio show about food, cooking, and eating, and sharing favorite recipes from Petersburg, Alaska, and around the world. Brought to you by KFSK Community Supported Radio in Petersburg, Alaska. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. And welcome to What's for Dinner. I'm your host, Mindy Anderson. I'm not a chef. I just love to cook. And sometimes I do cook flops. And this week we're going to talk about lots of food preservation. Well, we're not going to talk about it, but last week I did lots of food preservation at a class. Today we're going to talk about some chimichurri. I'm going to give you a chimichurri recipe. Also, easy stir fries. And with all those fresh vegetables, and also a good recipe for a coconut bread pudding. And the drink of the week, that's all coming up on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Hammer & Wecan Grocery Store, offering an expanded organic produce selection, cheeses, meats, Italian breads, and special occasion cheesecake and birthday cakes in the deli. In the meat department, Duane's famous sausage, with staff happy to make those special cuts. Delivery and van service available. Hammer & Wecan Grocery Store, a Petersburg family-owned business since 1921. And welcome back to What's for Dinner. I hope you're having a great day. Well, as I mentioned, last week I was gone. We didn't have What's for Dinner last Monday, but I was in Sitka taking a food preservation instructor class, so I dehydrated strawberries and carrots. I made some spicy beef jerky. I did lots of pressure canning, beef, chicken, carrots, other vegetables, a lot of water bath canning with apples and blueberry jam and squash pickles and more. And so later on, I'll be teaching some workshops at a later date. And as soon as I can get a hold of a pressure gauge tester, I will test your pressure cooker gauges for you to make sure that they're at the mark they should be, or at least tell you how to adjust your pressure canning so that you're pressure canning at a safe pressure for your gauge. You know what I mean? So we'll adjust the pressure you need to cook at. So that'll be coming up, and I'll be teaching some workshops. And hopefully we can do the pressure gauge testing sometime in an upcoming market before mid-July. Also, this weekend, spent my time grilling at the Keto's Cave Beer Garden, shish kebabs, and several people asked what the green sauce was on the shish kebabs. And it's easy chimichurri. You know, you can add your own flair to it. So here's an easy chimichurri recipe that you can add to it. And I had a couple different chimichurri recipes with me this weekend, one for beef and one for pork. They were both different. So you need some flat leaf parsley. So you can make, this makes about enough for six, one bunch of flat leaf parsley, 8 cloves of minced garlic, 3/4 of a cup of extra virgin olive oil, 1/4 cup of red wine vinegar, also lemon. you can, you know, many people just use the juice of a lemon, but when I'm throwing it in the food processor, I throw the whole thing in. So if you're using a wedge of lemon, I just throw the whole thing in. I take out the seeds and the rest of it goes in, and I really mix it up with the parsley well. And you can't tell you threw in the whole lemon, but it gives it that extra oomph. And I like some of the bitterness in the chimichurri. Also, some diced red onion, some dried oregano. And I like to use the oregano in the Latino section of the grocery store, the Mexican section, the dried oregano there. It has a nice strong flavor to it. But you don't have to use that. And actually, I usually like to use that oregano, but I had in my pantry, I had a bag of our own dried oregano from our house. Oregano, parsley, thyme, and rosemary blend from last year's herbs. And I just crushed all those up and threw that in there. Also some black pepper and some salt. You could also use some red pepper flakes. But you can, you know, pulse the parsley in the food processor. Chop it up. If your food processor is like mine, you need to add some liquid to it. So put your olive oil in there too. Add your remaining ingredients and blend it up. And you can use the sauce as a marinade, and you can also use it as, you know, a sauce at the end. So if you're making a marinade for steaks or chicken or pork, then you can take some olive oil and some balsamic vinegar, maybe a little Worcestershire and some more lemon, and then add some of that chimichurri to it, and you can make a nice marinade that way. Or if you're using pork or shrimp or even chicken and you want like a sweeter type of marinade, you could use a puree, like a mango puree. And you don't have to go out and buy a bunch of mangoes, but you can buy the puree already made, like some of the smoothies in the grocery store, Bolthouse smoothies. You can use some of those, and they make a great marinade for a sweeter marinade for chicken, shrimp, pork, if you want something a little sweeter, even some beef. So remember that. And if you're making a chimichurri that you want a sweeter chimichurri, you can also add chopped up mango or some orange juice or a little bit of apple, diced apple to that chimichurri, and you're going to get a little bit of a sweeter flavor with those chimichurris. So give it a try. It's really good on grilled meat and fish. And don't forget that little bit of salt when you're grilling makes a huge difference. If you're making a huge batch of chimichurri, you know, this one has like one bunch of flat leaf parsley, but I also use cilantro, and then I also use some mint in a lot of my chimichurris. So you can do whatever you want, but you need to start off, you need to have lots of garlic, and you need to have lots of parsley, and you need to have the oil and the vinegar. And it's good to have the onion too, and you can just go from there. If you're making a huge batch of it, like you want a couple, you know, quarts of chimichurri, then you're going to go with like six bunches of parsley and six bunches of cilantro and 50 cloves of garlic, and, you know, this is a large quantity. But start small, and you can tweak it to fit what you need to your foods. So there's chimichurri. Also, last week, after deboning a couple chickens at the food preservation class that I was at and teaching people how to debone a chicken there, because many people had never preserved chicken before, and then many people had never deboned a chicken or even cut a chicken up, for that matter. So I did a quick little here's how you cut up a chicken class, and then it just got me thinking how I wanted to make a chicken breast, a whole chicken breast deboned, and I wanted to stuff it. So last week I made one of those, and it's not hard to debone a chicken breast. So I started off with a whole chicken and cut off the thigh and the leg, both sides, and then take off the wings. You know, you just open up the joints, cut through them, And then you're left with the back and the whole breast. And so cut out the back. And then you have some ribs of the breast left, and cut some of those off so that's shorter. And then you just, like you're, you know, boning a fish, you cut along the bone and the ribs and cut the meat off of one side. And then you go to the other breast side and cut that. And then you have the two breasts, they're kind of connected in the center. And then just go down the center and slowly cut both breasts off together, off the bone, or that cartilage there in the middle. And then you have the two breast sides flat on your counter, and I like to keep the skin on them for the flavor. Plus, you can push herbs and whatever you want underneath the skin. But you can pound that out a little bit if you want to and flatten it. And then you also have those two little, they're kind of hanging off the sides, the tenderloins. You can take those off if you want and use them for something else. But I just leave them on there and open them up as well. From there, you can also butterfly the breasts open more if you want to. But I just made a stuffing with spinach, ricotta, some shredded Parmesan cheese, salt and pepper, some red pepper flakes, and some egg, and just mixed that up. And I just put the stuffing there in the middle. And then I closed the breast up into its own little package and tied it with a string, turned it over, and put it into a just a little casserole dish, fit nice and snug in there, tucked the ends under, and I had this nice little package of white meat that had the stuffing in the middle. And it was so good. A little salt and pepper and paprika on the top. I also put on some sliced lemons and put that in the oven on 350 and let that bake. And if you put foil on it for the first, hour, and then take the foil off, let it brown nicely, and then you'll also have some juices in there that you can baste with, and baste the top, and it just becomes nice and lovely. And then when you cut into it, after you've cooled it a little bit, and you put it onto a cutting board, you just get those nice, you get the white meat, and then the nice green center with the spinach and the ricotta. And you could stuff that with whatever you want to. Doesn't have to be, you could put some sun-dried tomatoes in there, would be great. You could use kale. You could use just about anything to stuff that with. Asparagus would be super good. You could use even some bacon or prosciutto. But I like the subtle spinach flavor. And then leftover, it's great. You can make sandwiches out of it, I think one day I actually cut some of it up and just sliced the slices with the spinach and everything and threw it into a little frying pan with some leftover pasta and a little bit of olive oil. And so it was just a nice chicken and spinach pasta. That was really good. So it's great for leftovers, and it feeds a crowd. Two chicken breasts like that really go a long way. So that was good this last week, and then I used the rest of the chicken to make another meal of Vietnamese caramel chicken, which is one of my favorite dishes. If I ever see it at a restaurant, I usually buy it. And Vietnamese caramel chicken is the sweet, the salty. It has everything about it that I absolutely love. So I had the two hind quarters left and the wings. And the wings I just left whole, but then the hindquarters I just took a cleaver and chop, cut those into pieces. And I started off with, you can marinate those a little bit with some fish sauce and garlic, a little bit of red pepper, some sugar, and a little bit of soy sauce if you want, maybe a little bit of lime, but I didn't marinate mine. But you can do that and let that chicken sit while you're working on some garlic. Get out your wok. If you don't have a wok, then you can use a heavy-duty cast iron skillet. But woks, they work so well, and that's why I wanted to talk about stir fries today. Woks aren't expensive, especially if you find one at a garage sale. And I ran across a used one just at a used restaurant equipment place down in Seattle, and I think I paid $20 for it recently. And I love this wok. It's great. It just heats so fast in the high heat. It's so perfect for cooking vegetables and meat in a quick way. And you start off with a little bit of oil in your wok, and I add chopped up garlic for this particular recipe. And I let the garlic actually brown, which normally I don't like to do. But for this, the oil is going to get nice and garlicky. I'm going to let the garlic get brown, and then I'm going to remove the garlic with a slotted spoon onto a paper towel, because I'm going to put that garlic back into the dish. It's got this crunch and this chewiness to it when you brown garlic like that, and then you have that real nice garlicky oil, and just set that aside because you're going to want to use it later on. And in the meantime, get out some fish sauce, and you're going to need some sugar. Set that aside. From there, you can take your chicken, and you can throw it back into that hot oil, and you can brown your chicken. I should have mentioned that right away. Go ahead and brown your chicken before you set the hot oil aside, and in that nice garlicky hot oil. So brown it. Put a lid on it if you need to, like a spatter lid, because it will spatter around. And brown your chicken on all sides, and then just remove all of that from the heat. Maybe put it on a platter, and your garlic is set aside too. So you have your browned chicken and your garlic on the side. And then clean out your wok, and then add some sugar. And I just used raw sugar. And I put about a half a cup of raw sugar into the wok, and you're going to let that melt a little bit. You could also take that raw sugar and mix it with a little bit of water first, so you're putting in like a sugar water in the wok. You could do it either way. And you're going to let the sugar brown, whether it's sugar water or just plain sugar. And you're going to start making a caramel out of it. It's going to brown, and once that happens, then you're going to add some fish sauce. You can use straight up fish sauce, or you can use a little bit of fish sauce with water mixed with it. But when that happens, that sugar is going to crystallize, and it's going to bubble up, and it's really going to become a caramel colored, but then it's going to slowly relax, and the crystallization that will start to break up, and it'll melt again. And then you'll have this nice sweet and salty sauce. And it's so good. And at that time, you can throw in some red pepper sauce. So whether you use whatever brand you use, if you use sriracha or you use another brand, throw that in there at the time. And then you can put your chicken back into that and mix it all up. Put the lid on it, and just let that kind of cook in that caramel sauce. The chicken will start to release some more juice, and it'll all cook up together. And at the very end, you throw in some fresh shallot and a little bit of green onion, and it makes a super great dish. If you want it spicier, just add more red pepper. So every time I make it, it tastes a little bit different because I'm not going off of a recipe, trying to perfect it on my own. But, if you want it sweeter, you're going to start with more sugar. If you want it saltier, you're going to add more fish sauce. And you can kind of do that as you go, too. If it needs more sugar, you can add it. If you want more salt, you can add a little more fish sauce to the mixture. And it's super, super good. And actually, one of my favorite places that I've ever had that dish, and it's super spicy, is at Pok Pok down in Portland. If you've ever been to Portland and you get a chance to go to Pok Pok, you'll want to do that. And you'll want to, I think they're just wings that they have at Pok Pok. But it's really great using other pieces of meat, too, if you're making your own at home. And you might be able to get the recipe online if you search Pok Pok's spicy wings. And I'm not sure if they're called caramel wings or not. Anyway, so that's how I used the leftover chicken. I also made broth out of the back of the chicken and the giblets that I took out of the chicken. So had some nice broth to use for another dish. So try to make the food go a little bit further. And basically, that's what I've been cooking at my house. Lots of ribs this weekend, and I hope you all enjoyed those. I know we did. And a few hot dogs. Thanks to everybody who came out and supported the radio station at the Shish Kebab fundraiser. Coming up next on What's for Dinner, we're going to talk about stir fries. It's the veggie season and seafood, and it's a great time to be making a bunch of stir fries. They're quick, they're easy, they're inexpensive, and you can make the sauce ahead of time and have it in your fridge and not feel like it's such a big deal to make a stir fry. You just need a good wok or a really good hot pan. We're going to talk about that next on What's for Dinner. Support for What's for Dinner on KFSK comes from Inga's Galley, open for business 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., serving locally grown food and fresh-caught seafood, including sandwiches, curries, kebabs, and salads, and sides, and the Manwich, quarter-pound burger on a Kaiser roll with bacon, egg, and cheese. Inga's Galley with heated outdoor seating downtown, beer and wine available. 772-2090. Welcome back to What's for Dinner. Thinking about stir fries and that great wok I have and how easy it is to make some quick vegetables for dinner. You could throw in some meat. Really what you need for a good stir fry is some veggies, meat or seafood if you want to put meat and seafood in, and you need sauce. You need a basic sauce. And then you also need to have a hot frying pan and a little bit of oil, and then of course you're ending, whether you're using some greens, maybe you want some chopped up nuts, some fresh veggies to go on top, and then do you want to serve it with noodles or rice or quinoa or garbanzo beans or more fresh greens, whatever you want. The sky's the limit. And if you have a couple good sauces that you know how to make and you can put them in a mason jar and stick them in the refrigerator, they keep for a couple weeks and you're good to go and you have your sauce already made, which sometimes is for some people the turn off to making a stir fry is just getting all that sauce together. But generally, when you make it, just make an extra amount and then label your jar And if you put it even with a pour top spout, you can get those cool mason jar pour top spouts now, and you can open it up and just pour it right in. It's a great technique. So just when your garden's ramping up and you don't really need one of a bunch of single vegetables, but you have a little of this and a little of that, especially with leftover vegetables, then it's a great time to make a stir fry. Maybe you have a little bit of broccoli, a little bit of kale, some green onions, and some garlic, possibly a few early peas, some carrots from last winter. You went down and bought some at the Chelan or Farragut or the grocery stores, or it's out of your garden or it's out of a friend's. Either way, it's a great time for a stir fry. So it's kind of, there really isn't a certain recipe for a stir fry. It's just more of a concept for stir frying. Your hot pan, you really want to use a super hot pan. And the large wok is the best way to do it, or a large cast iron skillet or a large heavy frying pan works great. Also, you want your veggies to be, you don't want your veggies to be in huge pieces. You want them to be in smaller pieces. And same with the meat. They should be small enough to cook quickly. Think about one bite size. And aim for slices rather than chunks. And you can even slice, carrots more into slices than chunks, or matchsticks, or, you know, something like that. Then you have your, one thing people get wrong when they're stir frying is they throw everything in at once. So then some things cook faster than others. So you have to think about what's going to cook quickest, and that goes in last. So that, you know, your veggies that cook longer go in first, and then something like shrimp, of course, goes in last. And many of you know that, but many people don't. And you just want to progressively add in the stuff that takes less time. Even peppers and green beans don't take that long. And remember, when you're stir frying, you don't want to cook it to death and wilt it and make it all limp. You want a little bit of a crispness to your meat, or not meat, but to your vegetables. You don't want it to be so limp and soggy. Your things like leafy greens, green onion tops, and herbs, that goes in at the very end. So to make it really simple, it's best to start off with some sort of a stir-fry sauce. And when I think of stir-fry sauce, I think of something Asian-y, but basic. And it can go with any meat or meal. Then you can always add to the sauce too. So you can dress it up or down with additional seasonings, just like I was talking about with the chimichurri. So you want to have some soy sauce, like a cup or a little bit more. You want to have some oyster sauce. You can find that in the grocery store. You want to have something like maple syrup for sweetness. Or if you want to use brown sugar, you can do that. You also want to use a vinegar, like a rice vinegar works great, a half a cup. Also, you might want to use ginger, garlic, a red pepper paste possibly. Maybe you want to use sesame or chili, whatever you want to do. But put those into a jar, and you can even make your own stir fry sauce jar, and so you know to fill it up with this much olive oil to that line, and then you fill it the next line up with, you know, you add your oyster sauce till it goes up to here, and it's kind of a fun thing to do. And then you just shake it all up together, and that's it. And then you have it in your jar, and it's ready to go. If you want your sauce to be a little tangier, you can add some vinegar to it, maybe a little bit of mustard. If you want it sweeter, you can add more sweetener, like more syrup. So there you go. You add it toward the end of your cooking. So just remember that generally you're going to start off with a little bit of oil. And usually you don't put your garlic in first like I did with my other recipe with the chicken. The chicken, I wanted that the garlic to get that oil flavor, and then I took the garlic out. And then at the very end there, which I might not have mentioned, you throw that crispy, crunchy garlic back in, mix it up with the chicken. But you don't need to throw the garlic in toward the end, and then your oil and your vegetables will get that garlic flavor. But if you want it in the beginning, you can do it. That's fine. But you just want to make sure that you heat your oil up super hot. You're going to add what cooks slowest in first, what's quickest in last, and then at the very end, add in your sauce, stir fry it around a little bit, and turn off the heat. If you want to thicken up your stir fry, you can add a little bit of a cornstarch slurry to that, and that will thicken up the sauce that you've used and make your stir fry a little bit thicker. It's up to you. Some people like thicker sauces. So that's basically it for stir fry. Basically, if you want to just stir fry up some meat, then that's pretty simple. You make your sauce. You can marinate. You can make enough sauce and marinate the meat with half the sauce, and then use the sauce with the stir fry later on. Let them marinate. Let them sit for a half hour to an hour in meat. And if you're doing something like a bulgogi and you want very thin meat, which is like a Korean thinly sliced meat, then you can use a meat slicer to slice it, or slice your meat when it's cold, very cold, or stick it in the freezer for about 20 minutes, half an hour, and then it'll slice pretty quickly. And with that, you want to use some garlic, some soy sauce, some Korean hot pepper flakes, some grated peeled ginger, a little bit of brown sugar, some sesame oil, sometimes also grated fruit like pear. Works great with that, or even some grated apple. And you can use boneless pork loin, hanger steak, short rib, chicken breasts or thighs. And you're going to heat your oil up in your skillet until it's shimmering, then toss in your meat and let it cook, and toss it here and there until it's cooked and crisp at the edges, about 3 minutes. You can add in some of your marinade or your sauce, and there you have it. Check for salt. Maybe it needs a little more salt, but thinly, thinly, thinly sliced meat works really well with that. Also, you don't have to have meat in your stir fries. You can just stir fry up some vegetables. For instance, portobello mushrooms are great for stir fries. A couple cloves of garlic, a couple teaspoons of minced ginger, once again, some maple syrup, some red pepper flakes, some soy sauce, sesame oil, a little lime juice, a little bit of water. And for vegetables, a couple portobello mushrooms, a red bell pepper. Also, chopped broccolini makes a great stir fry. And then if you want some green onions chopped at the end, you can do that. And you can serve that over some brown rice or some noodles. And like meat, portobello mushrooms can be marinated, and they really do take on the flavor of whatever marinade you put them in. So if you're making the marinade in the sauce, you can use half of it to marinate the meat in, and the other half you're going to use at the end. So for this particular stir fry, if you can start off with putting the portobello mushrooms in the pan with the hot oil and cooking them. You could take them out and set them aside, and then you can add in your vegetables and let them cook. Then add your portobello mushrooms back in and some garlic, throw in the sauce at the end, and it's great. You could add in whatever vegetables you want. You don't have to have just red pepper and broccolini. That makes a great stir fry. Of course, any of these recipes would be super great with shrimp or pork. Stir fry, kale stir fry. Kale does not take that long to stir fry. But something different that's not really a lot of Asian flavor, but also uses some apple. So like one big bunch of chopped kale, a couple of julienned carrots, a quarter of a head of red cabbage, one minced shallot, and some green apple thinly sliced. You could use some tofu if you wanted to. You could add shrimp, or you could just not have any shrimp or tofu. Or this would be great with pork because of the apple. But you're going to make, for this one, this is an apple cider sauce, 1 cup of apple cider. You're going to reduce that down to a quarter cup, so it's really condensed. And then a couple tablespoons of soy sauce and a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar. So you're going to marinate, if you're going to use any meat or tofu or shrimp or something, you're going to marinate it in some of the sauce while you prep your veggies, your carrots, your red cabbage, your apple, your shallot. And then you're going to use some oil. You could use olive oil or sesame oil or coconut oil even. Add your shallots and saute, then add your cabbage. And yum, I love cabbage. Add your carrots, add your kale, add your apples, and then if you want to add your tofu in there or your shrimp, you would add that, and then the sauce at the end. And it makes a great stir fry. So something a little bit different with the fruit in it and just the greens. Or This same goes for like if you're just wanting to make a green bean recipe or a stir-fried broccoli recipe or a cabbage recipe. Cabbage kind of doesn't really need a lot of sauce. Cabbage gets that buttery flavor all on its own. It doesn't really need a lot of sauce. You don't want it to be just like a mushy mess. So cabbage really doesn't need a lot of sauce. But this same recipe, all of these sauces that I've given you, work great if you're just trying to make a garlicky stir-fried bean or a broccoli. Or maybe you just want to make a carrot, cut the carrot up into like long slivers and stir-fry that. This same recipe would work. But fresh green beans work the best when you're stir-frying beans, and they go so well with peanut oil, chopped garlic, and some onion, a little bit of oyster sauce, or that basic sauce I gave you earlier, even with the ginger, and a little bit of red pepper sauce. You need to have really hot pan to start with, and there's nothing like a stir-fried green bean that has that sweetness and that saltiness to it. It's so good. Make sure you trim the ends of the beans and heat the wok or your frying pan on high for a couple minutes so that the oil is nice and hot. Add the oil so it gets nice and hot, I should say. You want that pan to be really hot when you put the oil in it. And then heat that, add your garlic and your onion, cook for a few seconds, add your beans, your salt, then add your sauce at the very end. Super good. And then I also just wanted to mention today that you can also stir fry you don't have to do an Asian stir fry. You can use your wok to, well, like I said, stir fry cabbage, which is so good in a little bit of olive oil and butter sauteed. It just gets that crispiness and that caramelized flavor on it. Yum. And you can add some kielbasa to that. So a pound of kielbasa cut into 1-inch pieces, a tablespoon of olive oil, one medium onion diced, a medium green cabbage thinly sliced. Some good cabbages out there lately. A tablespoon of sugar and a little bit of salt and pepper. So for this, you can put your kielbasa in your wok, cook it a couple minutes per side, stir fry it around a little bit till it's heated through, set it aside, and then another tablespoon of olive oil, add your diced onion, cook that for a few minutes, then add your sliced cabbage, and just be careful. I mean, it'll really cook down. You might not cook it all at once. You might have to add to the pan after it cooks down. Then you can add a little bit of sugar and some salt and stir it up and cook that for a few minutes. Depends on how well you want your cabbage done. Do you like it crunchy? Do you like it soft? It's up to you. And then once the cabbage is cooked, then you add the cooked kielbasa and stir it around for a couple minutes. Let the flavors blend together. Serve it with a little more, or season it with a little more salt. Add a little more black pepper and serve hot with a little bit of mustard on the side. So remember, you can use your wok to cook other things and other stir fries. It doesn't have to be Asian. You can quick stir fry sausage and add vegetables to that as well. So I hope that's inspired you. I have some cabbage in my fridge. I also want to pick up some kielbasa so I can make that cabbage kielbasa stir fry at my house, because I know Evelyn will love it. And don't forget, try to pick up a wok. If you don't have one, put it on your Christmas list, if you have room to store it in your kitchen, that is. And try out some stir fries. Don't be scared of it. Just don't let them cook too long and get soggy. Coming up next, I'm going to give you the drink of the week. I think you're going to like it. Coming up next. Support for What's for Dinner comes from Keto's Cave and Liquor Store, with a large selection of beers, wines, brandies, and rums to cook with, accompany any meal or potluck, or for mixing in a new favorite drink, on Singly Alley and open 7 days a week. Welcome back. Time for the drink of the week. Today it's a pineapple cooler. Kind of this heat wave that we had in the beautiful weekend. We were setting up shop Friday and Saturday morning out in the sun, and I felt like we were down in Mexico, you know, setting up down there like they do every morning and get ready outside in the warm weather and the sunshine. And it made me think of, just a fun drink with some rum in it. And so today's drink is a pineapple cooler. And you need 4 cups of pineapple chunks chilled. If you can stop yourself from eating the pineapple chunks before you ever get them into a drink, because they're so good, aren't they? Fresh pineapple. But you can use canned if you want. Also, 1.5 cups of ice, 1/4 cup of lime juice. And I know, yeah, the limes are pretty spendy right now. But 1/4 cup, I think that just squeeze the heck out of them. Get all the lime juice you can out of each lime. And then 1/4 cup of coconut milk and 1/3 cup of rum. Blend all the ingredients together until smooth in a blender. Yes, a blended pineapple yum drink with coconut. And garnish with a pineapple round, a lime wedge, and a little sprig of mint. And if you want a sweeter drink, you can add in some simple syrup. And then, of course, if you want the drink without rum, you can do that too. Just a pineapple, ice, lime juice, coconut milk drink. If you wanted to substitute the rum with some ginger ale, it would be delicious. And there you have a pineapple cooler. Just wait for the next hot, sunny day. And just love coconut. And everyone's cooking with a little more coconut, I think, these days. Did anyone have one of those lovely coconut truffles from B&Z Truffles downtown this weekend? Those were delicious with the dark chocolate on the outside. Great job, Suzanne. Delicious. And so speaking of coconut, today, my sweet tooth, I love bread pudding, and I love coconut. I love coconut cream pie. I love coconut cupcakes, coconut. Really, I love coconut anything. I love coconut cream. But this is a coconut bread pudding with coconut cream sauce. And this recipe is from High Heels and Grills. It's a blog, husband and wife. And coconut bread pudding with coconut cream sauce. You have got to try this. This sounds so amazing. 3 cups of bread, roughly chopped into largest cubes, 5 eggs, and 1.5 cups of coconut almond blend milk. And we can get that here. They have it at Hammer and Wecon, I know for sure. You can also make your own coconut almond blend milk. Takes a little bit of time, but it is so lovely tasting if you make your own. Maybe I'll give you the recipe for that next week. You also need 1/2 cup of coconut milk from a can, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar. If you want to use an alternative sugar, you can do that. 1/2 cup of coconut flakes, some nonstick spray. And then to make the coconut cream sauce, you need 1/2 cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of flour, 1 pinch of cinnamon, 1 pinch of salt, 1/2 cup of coconut milk. And they say here, not light, full on fat coconut milk. And then once again, 3/4 cup of silk almond coconut milk. Preheat your oven to 375. Apply nonstick spray to a 9x13 pan. Put your bread cubes evenly in the pan. Spread them out. Whisk your eggs, the coconut almond milk, the coconut milk, and the sugar, and to make that nice, yummy cream. And whisk it together until it's well blended. Pour that over the custard, over the bread, in the pan. Top the bread pudding with the coconut flakes. Cover with aluminum foil. Bake for 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, remove the foil and continue to bake for an additional 10-ish minutes. And it says here, keep an eye on it to make sure you don't burn the top. Just get it nice and golden brown. And then, while the pudding is baking, or the coconut bread pudding is baking, You can make the sauce. Combine all the sauce ingredients in a small saucepan and heat on medium heat. Remember, the sauce was a half a cup of sugar, a tablespoon of flour, a pinch of cinnamon, a pinch of salt, half a cup of coconut milk, and 3/4 cup of silk almond coconut milk. Stir continuously until the sauce begins to thicken, but don't let it come to a boil because you don't want to cook the egg in it. Let it get thick, and then pour it over the bread pudding while it's still warm, and enjoy. I think that's what I want for my birthday in January, is this. I usually go with lemon. I usually go with like a lemon cake, something lemony, you know, January comes around. But I think we might have to switch to coconut bread pudding. And that wraps up this week's What's for Dinner. Thanks for joining me, everyone. Get out your woks, try some stir fries. Get out your grill, grill up your own kebabs and throw some chimichurri on them. Maybe one of these days soon I'll have a class on how to cut up a chicken and debone it, and then you can stuff that chicken breast. Have a great day.